You can turn that into a match or challenge pledge to encourage others to give. Just email Development Director Robin Lewis at robin@kpft.org for more information. Again, our spring marathon is near. Please help today at kpft.org. Thanks. This is KPFT Houston.
The unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals Thursday, 10 p.m. Time for So What's Your Story? The only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling right here on listener-sponsored 90.1 KPFT Houston. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubichek, professor of communication at the University of Houston downtown, with steadfast Jacob Reiner orchestrating the boards. You know, it's been speculated that in America, education seems to be the only commodity of which the customer tries to get as little as possible. It's a remarkable level that our kids and how little they know and want to know, not to mention their collective lack of inquiry, commitment, and inspiration. Our kids sometimes get a bad rap, and some of them may deserve it, but it doesn't come within waving distance in describing my two guest tellers seated next to me right now. Because what Johnston Middle School 8th grader Sarah Felix and Elena Reed do is to answer the aforementioned presumption by doing what Jack London insisted, that you can't wait for inspiration. You have to go after it with a club. And with the help of their extraordinary teacher, with Vinnie Arlt, these young ladies continue to reach great inspirational heights with aplomb. Born in Washington, D.C., then moving about before landing in Houston, Sarah Felix was stirred early in her life to write fiction as a method to convey personal experiences. She also loves to study media, animation, the environment, art, and proves to be one tough competitor on the soccer field. Sarah will be fostering the same enviable spirit in the corridors of Bel Air High School after her stint in Johnston. Elena is a veteran of So What's Your Story? She was here as a 6th grader, and now she's a senior citizen getting ready to retire, I guess, I don't know. And because this is the best show on the planet, she absolutely begged me to come on again. Not really, I begged her. But like Sarah, Elena isn't just about exceptional writing. Rather, she pursues a bouquet of interests ranging from orchestra to karate. Elena will be enriching her mind and everyone that comes near her when she attends Houston's High School for Performing and Visual Arts. Welcome, you guys. It's nice to be here. Sarah, are you okay?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. I know. You look a little nervous, and you are a real veteran. Are you glad to be back?
Yes.
Well, what did your friends say when you told them you're going to be on the radio?
They asked what station, and I said KPFT.
And when you said what show, they said, what? What show is that? Yeah, they had no idea, right? So they did not want my autograph or anything, right?
Nope.
They couldn't care less. Okay, good. I'm glad you guys are honest. Now, this is a tough question, but to get us started, I'd like to know how writing makes you feel. I know that's a strange question, but when you're writing, you feel independent, you feel free, you feel creative. What is it about writing that makes you feel good enough to continue? Elena, let's start with you.
When I write, I feel limitless. Like, I can write anything I want, and it's possible.
Limitless?
Yes.
And what does that mean, limitless? All the ideas are possible.
Yeah, like, in the world that I write about, anything is possible. So,
what kind of a world do you like to write about?
Fantasy?
Fantasy.
Yeah.
Well, you love Harry Potter. I know we're going to talk about that later, but you love fantasy. And fantasies are great. Fantasies sort of take you from one world to another and then returns you safely to the present. It's a hard genre to write. Sarah, what about you? How do you feel about writing?
I feel like something's lifted from me. I feel like I can express myself. And that, like, I'm not judged. It's what I want it to be.
Beautiful thought. So you don't feel judged. You feel free of expression, free to express yourself any way you want. And you feel lifted. What does that mean, lifted?
Whatever's on my mind and how I feel about something will kind of just stay with me.
Yeah.
But when I put it on paper, it's like it leaves me. And it's there if I want to think about it. But it's not something that I have to, like, deal with.
It's sort of like journal writing. I keep journals. Is that fair? Do you keep journals?
Sometimes? A little bit.
Yeah. So, but it's great because you can write and you've gotten rid of it and you can revisit it later, right, if you want to. Is that what you're talking about? Kind of, sort of?
Yeah.
Good writers are always looking for ways to improve their writing. They really are. And writers want to improve all the time. And you know, I go to writing workshops, and I know, that you two are working on your writing all the time. How do you know good writing when you see it, Elena?
Good writing to me makes me feel what the character is feeling, like it's descriptive enough that I feel sad or angry or
very happy. Good. So you can empathize. You can empathize with the protagonist. You can feel the emotion that the character is conveying, right? And if you bring that to life, if that sort of emerges off the page, that's good writing. And I think that's fair. That's great. Sarah, now in your case, I know that you started writing when you were in the second grade, and it made you happy. You told me it kind of made you happy. Tell us what kinds of things you were writing, even at that ripe old age of, what, you were like seven or whatever.
Yeah.
How are you feeling when you were writing at that time? That's amazing that you started at that age.
I would write about things that were in my life at that time. And it was like things that I found were interesting to myself. Mm-hmm. But when I could use words to describe how I felt, it made me feel like I had something that, like, other people didn't have.
Good for you. Validated your feelings.
Yeah.
Validated. Did anybody ever say to you, you are a great writer, you need to keep writing?
Yeah.
Who told you that you were a great writer?
My second grade teacher.
Yeah. What's her name?
Miss Edge.
Well, she was right. Good writers also love to read in order to build their own repertoire. And you have any favorite authors, favorite books? I know you like Harry Potter. Anybody else?
I like everything by Brandon Sanderson.
Yeah, and what is it about Brandon Sanderson that you really like? I know there's a real theme going on, but what is it about his writing that you like?
I feel like a lot of the fiction today is very predictable. Like, they're very similar, but Brandon Sanderson, there's, like, plot twists everywhere.
Wow.
And, yeah.
Sound like you are a critic for the New York Times Book Review. That's beautiful. What about you? Favorite books? Favorite authors?
My favorite author is Lauren Anderson, and my favorite book is The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
What do you like about that book so much?
I like that it's funny, but the idea is something kind of deep and dark, but you can look at it from, like, a better way, and you can understand things, I guess.
Right. No, I understand. So you're looking at things from a different point of view. Right, different kind of point of view, different perspective. Beautiful. Let's start talking about your stories. Elena, before telling your story, you know, help us understand the motivation behind it, because your story is both upsetting and extraordinarily expressive. It's also very moving. In short, HISD chose to rename a cluster of its schools after Confederate generals. And you were pretty passionate about this the other day. And I'm looking forward to this story. But tell us what the motivation was first.
Okay.
What was the core problem?
I think that people today are pressured to be as racially unbiased as possible. But erasing our history, like the Confederacy, is not the best way to destroy racial barriers, in my opinion.
Yeah. Let's hear your story.
Two summers ago, before seventh grade, I traveled with my family to the site where Albert Sidney Johnston, the highest-ranking Confederate from Texas, died in Shiloh, Tennessee. We went because both my sister and I go to Johnston Middle School in Houston ISD, and we were interested in learning about our school's namesake. The once bloody and violent battleground had turned into a peaceful, pleasant area. While there, I learned that he was more than just the immoral monster that we were taught Confederate supporters were. He was a courageous, brilliant general who had an unrivaled sense of strategy. He died when he was shot in the leg during the Battle of Shiloh and bled out into his boot. Even though he was fatally wounded, he continued to fight right up until he lost too much blood and died at the edge of a creek. His persistence and bravery greatly helped the Confederacy, even if they ultimately lost the war. Now, in my eighth grade year, the HISD board has made the decision to rename several schools that are named after prominent Confederates, including Johnston Middle School. HISD hopes that by changing the names of these schools, no school will appear biased towards one race, and parents and students will no longer be offended by going to a school that honors a Confederate supporter. I, however, think that we shouldn't change Johnston's name. Instead, we should keep in mind the honorable things about Albert Sidney Johnston and not base his entire worth on his position on one issue. The cause he was fighting for was unjust and evil, but it was not his defining quality. Why should we villainize him because of one bad choice he made? George Washington supported slavery. He owned slaves. Do we villainize him? No. Instead, he's treated as a hero who led America to freedom. Why should Albert Sidney Johnston be treated differently? I understand how attending a school named after a person who fought to maintain slavery is undesirable, but I think rejecting Confederate supporters is not the best way to go about destroying racial barriers. I think it's doing the opposite. By erasing Albert Sidney Johnston from our history, although in the short term it may bring awareness to this issue, eventually people will forget, because we're preventing people from acknowledging the problem by eradicating things that help us talk about it. If I didn't see Johnston's name on the front of the school every day, I wouldn't have been interested in researching him, I wouldn't have learned about his role in the Confederacy, and I wouldn't have been prompted to start thinking about racial barriers and how to get rid of them. Instead of being a disparaging comment towards my black friends, Johnston's name serves as a reminder to be aware of the different people around me. I personally believe that instead of ignoring him, we should acknowledge Albert Sidney Johnston, recognize his mistakes, and teach why they were wrong. Otherwise, we'll only prolong the existence of racial barriers, and they'll be harder to get rid of in the future. In the end, I respect my school board's decision. They have several good reasons for doing what they did, not the least of which is appeasing angry parents and students. I'm just thinking aloud on my reasons.
It's a beautiful, beautiful story. Bravo. Bold, a lot of conviction. What kind of feedback are you getting on that story? What kind of feedback? What have people been telling you?
Most of my friends who I've talked to so far agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
They, once I stated, like, my reasons and they agreed that it's wrong to judge a person based on one
Your teacher really encourages you guys to speak up, doesn't she? I mean, she encourages you to say what you mean what you say, have a good sense of meaning of words, and absolutely articulate your views, and I love that. You know, Elie Wiesel, you know, who he is, the one who wrote Night, the Nobel Prize winner. Elie Wiesel said, there is no virtue in being silent. And I think that both of you represent that beautifully. I want to find out more about your story in just a moment. But you are listening to So What's Your Story? This is Hank Rubicek with Jacob Reiner on the boards. And you are enjoying Johnston Middle School 8th graders Elena Reed and Sarah Felix only on So What's Your Story? On KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston. You know, to paraphrase the words of Bill Hewlett, co-founder of Hewlett-Packard, creativity is where young folks have an advantage because they have an endearing habit of always questioning past wisdom and authority. And I think that's what the two of you do as well, and that's a wonderful, wonderful trait. Don't you dare lose it. Now, in a sentence or two, Elena, tell our listeners what you want us to take away from that marvelous story.
I think there's more value in recognizing our history and learning from their mistakes than pretending it never happened.
Beautiful. Very, very well said. Very, very well said. You know, the Houston Storytellers Guild hosted its 28th annual Liars Contest this past Saturday, and it was great, and we want to be talking about this for a moment because these two young ladies don't know what it's like to lie, but we had some real whoppers this last Saturday, people whose stock and trade are indeed the tall, tall yes. tale. Saturday was great. Jacob, give me your impressions of the contest.
It was great. The stories... The beginning of the stories were so realistic that at the end, I was thinking to myself, that'd be very cool if it was real.
You guys ever tell tall tales in class? You ever tell lies? You look at each other. Tell the truth now. No, you don't. Yeah, there was the Houston Storytellers Guild had a liars contest on Saturday night. It's adults telling really whopping lies. It's amazing. Isn't that amazing that that's what they do for a living?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. People actually paid for it, too. It was really very, very good. I know. We're not really doing it justice. How does Shay like it?
She enjoyed it.
And what about that extraordinary MC that clearly stole the show?
He did a
that
great
was me.
Job,
that was
but
me. I'm looking for praise.
Yeah. It was a liar's contest, so the jury's still out.
The jury's still out. I got you right. Well, tell us about our proud sponsor, the one and only Houston Storytellers Guild, Jacob.
Absolutely. The Guild meets the fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Printing Museum, which is located at 1324 West Clay. For lots more details, go to www.houstonstorytellers.org and be sure to visit us on our Facebook, So What's Your Story, to get the scoop on our fabulous guests and events and everything Houston Storytelling.
Make sure you tell your friends to visit us on Facebook.
And like us before you leave.
You bet. Thank you, Jake. If our guild is the best, you know, the second best might be the very cool Austin Storyteller Guild. We're going to know more next week when Greg Audell hosts Carol Ramsey, a witty Austin teller and member of their guild. Don't miss it. But why would you want to miss anything on this great show, right? You guys are just, you have a pulse. You're not going with me here. You're supposed to agree with me on everything. Don't you know the program? You're supposed to agree on everything that I say. Right? But you're not going to do that. You're just much too smart. Sarah, now you shared with me that you began searching for your identity as early as the sixth grade. And tell us, first of all, what kind of identity crisis were you suffering from?
I moved around a lot before sixth grade. And every time I moved to a new place, I kind of situated myself with everyone. I kind of felt it. And I would essentially like blend in with everyone else. And when I went to middle school in Houston, there were so many different types of people that I didn't find a place where I could like fully be there. Like parts of me would connect with different people, but
now, did you know that you'd be moving? Whenever you moved, did you know you'd be eventually moving, or was it sort of a surprise?
Yeah, I usually had some warning.
Yeah. Was it hard for you to make friends as a result?
I made friends pretty easily, but it was hard leaving them.
It was, yeah. It's hard to break up that kind of a relationship, right? Because they're so important. Absolutely. Now, you turn to fiction to characterize yourself, and I know other people that do that, and we talked about this a little bit earlier. Why is it that you turn to fiction? Why do you talk about yourself in a very real sense of the word in imaginary context with imaginary characters?
I think that I can say what I want to say, but I can make it have more of an impact if I make the character more interesting and something that will, like, relate to what I'm trying to say.
Right. More. So if you look at a different persona, a different role, a different person, you can put yourself in that individual and feel more comfortable disclosing things about yourself. Is that a fair assessment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, to the novice writer, your technique sounds like an oxymoron, but in fact, it's a very distinctive style for many, many brilliant writers, frankly, and it's a lot easier to talk about yourself sometimes than it is to put it in fictitious form. So you've got to be a very talented writer in order to do that. But tonight, you're doing something a little bit different. You're actually going to treat us to a nonfiction work because the piece that you're going to share with us is written in journalistic style, and it's about identity crisis, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear that. We're looking forward to it.
Middle school is the time when most children begin to find themselves. Middle school is also just happens to be the first time that many students will meet and converse with people from such a variety of backgrounds. Most incoming sixth graders have spent their entire lives interacting with people from their own neighborhood, school, ethnicity, and culture, which is a much contrast to our melting pot of a middle school. Like in cooking, some ingredients mix together perfectly and create delicious tastes. Others just do not mix well at all, and that is where we find typical middle school drama. As much as we may try to rid of our faction-based society, cliques continue to stay the social norm. Cliques are a reality. Students who share the same common interests or personality traits often form cliques like the ones I see at my school. They include the smart kids, the singers, actors, and dancers, the troublemakers, and the sports-specific cliques. There are also cliques contingent on things that students do not decide for themselves, like their race or their financial status. There are the white kids, the Hispanic kids, the black kids, the ghetto kids, and the rich kids. Students of all of these cliques may not know that they are bullying each other by being so exclusive, but it is a real issue with detrimental effects. However, I believe that there is not much adults can do about it. Adults can encourage students to be more welcoming and punish them for exclusive behavior, but cliques are inevitable, so they do not concern me as they do adults. But what really does concern me is that over the past 3 years, I have seen quite a change in the way students mold themselves to fit a certain clique. They are no longer content with changing the way they dress or talk to mirror the current trends. Students are now subsiding to more mentally and physically dangerous trends. A change in behavior or self-harming are cries for help in depression cases, but they can also be a cry for attention, and the line between the two is very blurred. That can take the attention away from students who are really struggling and genuinely need the support. Students are influenced by their friends to hurt themselves or act unlike themselves, intentionally or not. They are also worried about being accepted into a group that they don't mind losing themselves. Another instance where I see students seeking attention is in making new forms of sexualities so they can identify with the LGBT community. They want to show that they are accepting of all genders and sexual identities, and they do so by identifying with one. They may refer to themselves as gray sexual or panromantic, where the prefixes and suffixes can be switched around to create their own specific identity. This, as with the depression issue, can cause more problems on a bigger scale. It can illegitimize the LGBT and mental issue awareness causes and make their goal harder to reach. The reason for it being so hard for these causes to gain leeway with lawmakers may be because the lawmakers see the causes as just a whole bunch of confused teenagers looking for some recognition. The constant factors in these issues is that students are making it a competition among themselves to be pitied the most and are willing to take measures to prove that they are what they say they are. Friends are pulling each other into a cycle of sympathy and are tearing each other apart. As with the issue of cliques, I believe that the only people who can impact the middle school norms are the students themselves. The students who can walk away from negative people and negative relationships, the students who can support others without expecting sympathy in return, and the ones who can resist the influence of others. I can only speculate why students have taken new measures in finding themselves, whether it be influences of the media or the adults in their lives. But what I know for sure is that it stems from a wanting to feel like they belong, wanting to feel like they are wanted, wanting to identify with something, and just wanting to have an identity.
That's a beautiful piece, Sarah. That's poignant. It's powerful. Have you ever heard that before? Have you heard that before?
No. Nope.
What's your impression of that?
I thought it was a really interesting point of view, and it opened my mind a little bit to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What prompted you to write that? That's a fabulous piece. No hyperbole. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. That is a great, great piece of writing. Both of you have written some good stuff here. But that, in that style, in that journalistic style, what prompted you to write that piece in that style?
Miss L, our teacher, told us one class that we would have to write about something, mm-hmm. and just anything, and I just, it was something that I felt like I wanted to write because it was always on my mind, because throughout the halls at our school, we see, like, a lot of these kids, you know, kind of, like, bragging about the things that they do, like, oh, like, you're depressed, well, I'm depressed and I have anxiety, or mm-hmm. I'm not just gay, like, I'm pan, like, they would make it just something that they feel like they need attention for.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. That is a beautiful, beautiful piece, and it got me thinking about a lot of things, too. Both of you have a lot of common denominators in your writing. Both of you get to the point very clearly. The tension in your stories, the conflict, the essential themes that both of you want to talk about are apparent, and you package them just beautifully, just beautifully. You know, your teacher is pretty fabulous. Tell me a little bit about what makes her so special.
I think that she doesn't let us do anything less than our best. And if we try and not work, then she'll be honest.
Right, yeah. Do you ever not work? I can't believe either one of you doesn't work. Is there ever a time that you don't work? Is there ever a time you get kind of lazy?
My mom's nodding.
You're not. Mom is nodding what? She's nodding that you are. Don't listen to your mom. Since when do you, we listen to our moms, right? Since when? I mean, do you ever not work? Every once in a while. That's a leading question, right? You don't like that one, I know. I want to get back to your story for a minute, Sarah. It was a fabulous story. Tell us the same question I asked Elena. What is it that you want us to walk away from?
I just want people to think about, like, why we have this problem.
Yeah.
Like, I want people to understand that this is a real thing that may seem, like, frivolous, mm-hmm. but it's an actual issue.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Wow. Pretty magnificent. Jake, what do you think of these youngins?
They give me faith for the future.
They do. They even give me faith that you can write well one of these days. Now, Jake's a good student. We just have to give him a hard time. That's why he's here. Right? He's an intern. We have to give him a hard time. Feel free to do so when you leave. Jake's a good student, but you guys rack, I'm telling you. But they write pretty well, I'll tell you. And as Jake will tell you, I'm always getting down on my students about not writing well. They can, but they choose not to because it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort to write, right? All right. Very good. You are listening to some great stuff tonight, right now. This is So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 Houston. You are listening to Sarah Felix and Elena Reed right here on Corporate Free Pacifica Radio, KPFT. Who was a storyteller in your house growing up?
My grandmother, I called her Nami. Mm-hmm. She always told a lot of stories. Like, yeah. Something would happen and she'd make the vaguest connection to another story and then tell that story. Yeah.
What about for you?
For me, it was my dad.
Uh-huh. Well, he's right there, so, you know. No, your dad mm-hmm. isn't here. Your dad is here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of stories did he tell you?
He was born and grew up in Bolivia, mm-hmm. and so he'd tell stories of what it was like living there.
Yeah. Any shout-outs tonight?
To all my friends who should be asleep right now.
And you've got a ton of them in all parts of the world, right? What about you?
Also to my friends and my mom and sister, who I hope are still awake and listening to this.
They are not going to miss it. You know, only Einstein could say logic will take you from A to B, but imagination is going to take you everywhere. Sarah Felix and Elena Reed prove this by weaving words into tales of introspection, verbal pictures that will continually lead us on absorbing journeys. You guys are fabulous. Just fabulous. Hey, listen up, Boomers, with my favorite song, I swear to God, it's my favorite song of all time, The Temptations. Just My Imagination is going to be signing off tonight, because after all, it's all about imagination tonight. Scooter is up next with The Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling out, make sure that you tune in every Thursday at 10 for So What's Your Story and ease into the weekend right. Keep loving a great story, and we're going to keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. I'm Dr. Hank reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. peace.
Have you ever considered producing a community radio show? If that's the case, please pay attention. The Pacifica National Board has approved a motion to implement 5 new hours of programming in Spanish per week at every station of Pacifica.